Welcome to another episode of the Alcohol Addiction Podcast. My name is Lee Davey. I'm not an alcoholic. I refuse to be anonymous. I am someone who doesn't drink alcohol, and I spend every waking moment of my life helping other people do the same, like right now. Episode 161, Chewing the Fat. Just got back from a trip to Malta. I'm back in lovely, rainy Cardiff after spending 6 or 7 days in the heat of Malta. And I can't be honest, although I worked a lot and I was inside the Hilton Hotel and the casino for like most of the trip, it was nice to just nip out and go and get myself a juice and get the sun on my back. So I'm really looking forward to our family trip to Los Angeles, which is going to be taking place on the 30th of November. And I'll be out there until March. So I'm really looking forward to getting more regular sun. I mean, I've loved my time here in Cardiff. I love Cardiff as a city. But now this time of year, it gets a little bit too cold, a little bit too damp and miserable for me. So I can't wait to get out of the joint. One thing I want to talk to you about in Malta, and I'll be writing a little bit of a blog post about this, so you're going to get a double whammy, which I think is like super important, is we had a cleaner. We stayed at the Hilton. I didn't pay for it, so I don't think I'm posh or anything. We stayed at the Hilton and we had a cleaner there. And look, when it comes to societal rules or our thoughts around like jobs and positions of hierarchy and status within careers, we have to admit that the cleaner, the person who cleans up our shit after us, right, is pretty much low down on the rung of that ladder, right, in our thought process, you know. And a hotel cleaner, when you think about what goes on in most hotel rooms, is a real difficult job to have, right? Yet we had this wonderful cleaner called Layla, who every morning would get a towel, right? And she would turn that towel into an animal using little props that we had around the bedroom, like glasses and stuff. And she would make sure that Zia's toys were all in the picture as well. I think we had a monkey. We had a tortoise. We had a whole number of these things, right? Every single day. And it brought a real smile to mine and Liza's face every moment. I couldn't wait to get home to see what she'd done next. Liza, Zia, not so much excited about it. She'd kind of like start crying when she saw these things. But the cleaner didn't know that, did she? The cleaner thought she was bringing a bit of joy of sunshine to her life. And why is this important? Why am I talking about it? Well, two things really. One, it shows that no matter how low down the pecking order you think your position is, your job is, or your career, and you start telling yourself that you're worthless, that you're never going to amount to anything in the world, that you're never going to be anything other than a cleaner or whatever else you pick holes in. Mine was at the railway, you know. That you have within yourself the ability to transform almost any job into something which is a little bit more palatable than just going to work with a bit of a mood and keep, you know, putting out there to the world that this job you're doing is shit. And it's an important lesson for me to think about, because I'm so desperate to get out of poker so I can spend more time doing working on the truth about alcohol, that I can get a little bit cynical, a little bit miserable and moody when it comes to me doing that work. It's really important that you get grounded with gratitude and try to turn what you're doing, in my instance, writing, try to turn it into something which is really interesting. One little trick I use, for example, is I'd read a lot of Charles Bukowski's poetry. I pinched a few of his metaphors and phrases and sentences and words, and I try to challenge myself to put 5 of those in my articles every day. And it what that does is it makes this what can sometimes be a mundane experience of mine a little bit more challenging. So if you're having a tough time with your job and because of that you're stopping off for a drink of lager or 12 on your way home from work, try to think about how you can make your job more exciting, okay? You don't have to always change jobs. Like finding meaning and purpose, like for me, I quit the railway, didn't I, just to create Truth About Alcohol. You don't have to go that far. You could just say to yourself, what changes can I make in my position to make this a little bit better? Also, think about what Layla did. What she did was very smart, wasn't she? Because at the end of the holiday, she ended up with a 15 euro tip. So there's my tip to you as well. Be a little bit smart and a little bit savvy about what you're doing when you're giving back to the world as well, because I thought that was pretty astute of her. And I'm sure that it brightened up her day, knowing that we were leaving her little letters, thanking her for cheering up our day. All right? So I just wanted to share that with you. Few things to, a few housekeeping bits and bobs before I get on to the main entree. Craig is a striver. He's currently doing the intensive and he is really getting into it and he's really enjoying it. And as a result of that, he's reached out to me and said, look, Lee, I think this intensive experience is fantastic. I know that £600 is a lot of money to a lot of people, but what I want to do is I want to donate two positions in your December taster free of charge in the hope that they will love it so much that they will want to go on and do what Craig is doing and join the taster. So if you want to take advantage of Craig's generosity and you want to get a free ticket worth £49 into the December taster, then write to me at thetruthaboutalcohol@gmail.com explaining why Craig should give the ticket to you, okay? And if we get more than two people applying for it, we will do a vote on Strive. We'll run a little ballot and the two winners of that vote will get free tickets into the December taster, courtesy of Craig, a beautiful, lovely, early Christmas present. And what better time of the year to stop drinking alcohol than Christmas, right? So you can be present and available for your children and all the people that you love, right? Super duper duper. Want to also give a shout out to Julian, another striver doing the intensive. Julian this week gifted me 50% royalties of a song that he created. I've never been given a song before. I think that really clever and smart way of donating something that you've worked on to somebody to enrich their lives is beautiful. I really liked it. I really bowled over by it. So thank you very much, Julian. I'm not quite sure I'm going to use the song yet, but I'm sure we'll put it to good use. So thank you very much. And finally, before I moved on, I just want to make a special mention to Clint, Michelle, and Adrian. Look, Clint, Michelle, and Adrian are currently the three amigos doing the Truth About Alcohol life-changing experience, the final life-changing experience, because as you know, we don't call it that anymore, we call it the intensive, right? But Clint, Michelle, and Adrian are doing the final one, and they've just done a piece of homework called The Dip, okay, which is something that we stole off Seth Godin, and we've introduced into the intensive, and they've just gone through that homework, and I read it last night. Man, was I nearly crying. There was so much emotion, there was so much hard work and dedication. And here's what I want to say. Not only do I want to say, Clint, Michelle, and Adrian, I think you're the absolute bomb for all the work you're putting in at the moment on the life-changing experience. But they're doing it together, all right? They're doing it together. Every day they're logging on and they've got time aside and they're doing their homework at the same time. All right. Now, there's a reason that we created the taster and the intensive to be a group peer learning exercise. It's because the studies out there show that if you work with somebody else doing this type of thing, you are much more likely to succeed and become someone or be successful, which in this case is become someone who doesn't drink alcohol. Okay. Now, I know a lot of you like to do these things alone. We had someone this week join the taster, realized that he had to actually get involved with other people, didn't fancy it, asked for his money back, and that's cool. And in December, I'm hopefully going to convince him to try do it again, but alone, okay? And I understand that some of you want to do it alone, but it's such a shame if you choose that route, because I've been seeing this with my own eyes, okay, witnessing it since I started creating these experiences. When people work together in a group, it is so much more powerful, so much more powerful. So much so that I've had to give the November taster a little kick up the ass this week and say, come on, folks, like you're two all over the place. There's one of you that's like speeding away, like doing their exercises every day. And there's other people who haven't caught up yet. Look, what you got to think about, folks, is alcohol and our addiction to alcohol sometimes makes us become a little bit insular. It becomes all about us, right? Now, if you are working in the intensive, you're working in the taster, you're commenting on Alcohol Addiction podcast episodes, you're a member of Strive, what you put out there to the world, the effort that you put in to share what's going on for you, okay, by doing that, you are really helping those around you to benefit because they are reading and learning and growing through your material, okay? So think about that, right? And really, instead of thinking, I don't have the time to do this today, think to yourself, wow, if I don't do this today, X, Y, and Z is going to miss out because they're not going to be able to read my product, right? So really think about that. Super important. Group peer learning. Not only does it help you, but you're helping other people at the same time. Okay? And that's what we're all about at Strive, right? We're not about helping ourselves. We are a movement that's going to reach 1 million people somehow, okay? And one of the reasons that people flock to Strive and love Strive is we're a family. We have each other's back. And one of the ways we have each other's back is by doing work together and holding each other's hands across this finishing line of ours, all right? So just listen to that and, let it sink in, yep. Okay, on to this week's episode. Erica Thornton's just recently joined Strive. Welcome, Erica. Good to have you here. It's always a pleasure. And when anybody ever joins Strive or the Taster or the Intensive, one of the questions that you have to fill in the survey is to ask me a question, right, about becoming somebody who doesn't drink alcohol. And Erica says, after 12 months of living without alcohol, I fear I'm turning into sober and serious. Will social situations ever get easier? Okay. Well, let's pick on the seriousness part of that first and foremost. First of all, Erica, I get it completely. When I was a drinker, I was your quote-unquote stereotypical life and soul of the party, right? If someone was going to get naked, it would be me. If someone was going to throw up in their pint and drink it again, it would be me. If someone was going to stick their head through a window, it would be me. If someone was dancing on the table, making everybody laugh and telling all the jokes, it would be me, right? And I always remember when I first gave up drinking alcohol, my friend Skit said to me, I want the old Ching back, right? Because he didn't like this new version of me, right? So, and that new version of me was someone who didn't mess about so much, someone who was a little bit more serious about life. And he wanted the old Ching back, right? So I get that. And I am definitely today a far more serious person than I ever was when I drank alcohol. And part of the reason is because, you know, I have spent a lot of time reflecting back on my addiction and the times and everything that it robbed from me of life. And I personally find it difficult to get beyond that. I find it difficult to bring more joy and happiness into my life. Because I'm always so busy helping other people try to stop drinking alcohol. And that in itself, if you're around the Strive Community Forum all the time or replying to people in Intensive and the Taster, you're reading people pouring their hearts out. Like, this is life-changing stuff. So, yeah, I'm far more serious than I was when I was a drinker. But personally, for me, I wouldn't change it. And I'll talk about that a little bit in a minute. So, yes, I understand it, Erica. Completely, you're not alone. I'm sure there's loads of other people listening to this who have stopped drinking alcohol and are in the same boat, right? One of the reasons that we get dead serious, I guess, is we don't go out as much. Or we don't feel like we belong. Or we feel like we don't have that much in common with our friends, right? Or we just feel ashamed or we feel very, very different and not normal anymore. And we feel self-conscious, right? And we don't want to go out there anymore because we've lost our little crutch, you know, this alcohol, this substance that somehow turns us into some crazy loon or if you don't go that far, at least gives you the confidence to be able to hold up a conversation, right? But the first thing we need to think about here is why all of a sudden are we not doing something different with our friends, okay? Now, when we become someone who doesn't drink alcohol, one of the things that happens, whether you're aware of it or not, and if you take the intensive, you will be aware of it because this is a module we work on, is your values will change. Your values will either change because you've got yourself, you're doing the intensive and you've got your whiteboard up and I've told you to write down your values and then reestablish them. That's one way. But the other way is if you're not in the intensive or anything like that, you're probably subconsciously, your values are changing. You don't even know it's happening, but it are. So, for example, instead of being selfish and thinking about yourself, you might be thinking about others, for example, right? All these different things, you might suddenly start, family might be more important than going out and having a great time. So your values are changing all the time. And it's important to ask yourself the question, when our values change, particularly as we reach kind of towards the middle point of our existence on this planet, why would we not think that our friendships are going to change, okay? Like, I think it was John who just recently said on the intensive when he was doing some work around the voice of resistance, John said, one of the reasons I love drinking alcohol is because it can be 1998 every day, right? But it isn't fucking 1998, is it? It's 2018 and we can't keep living in the past, right? And one of the ways that alcoholism remains an invisible, violent, and dominant belief system is the resistance will continually keep us stuck in that past. We have created such a strong psychological, but also a biological kind of like love and affinity with the past, because don't forget, not only are we thinking about all these wonderful times that happened in the past, but the reason that we think about them so much is because the outpouring of emotion at that moment was kind of cemented, okay? Cemented through our neocortex and our limbic system into our cerebellum as a declarative memory, right? So whenever we think about these wonderful times we had when we were younger, we automatically think about these great times we had when we was out with people or at great events. The fact that alcohol was present at that moment in those times is a red herring, right? So, for example, if you say the best time of your life was your wedding day, okay, and you got really, really super drunk on your wedding day, you will be lulling yourself into this false sense of security that alcohol was one of the primary reasons why you had a great time. But it will be one of the lowest lowest denominators in why you had a good time on that day. It will be the fact that you was in love, you're just about to marry the person you're in love with, every single person you love in the world is in that venue, you are the center of attention, every single song you like is on the playlist, right? Everything about that moment is going to be fantastic, and your body is going to encapsulate that in an emotional experience by providing you with the correct neurochemical signature, which is then going to be recorded in your cerebellum as a declarative memory, right? Super duper important. The fact that you drunk alcohol has nothing to do with it. Actually, drinking alcohol is actually made that situation worse by dumbing you down, by blacking pieces of it out, and by making you act like a bit of an arsehole. If anything, it's made you act very unlike who you are. So you're showing people an image of who you are. So it's really important to understand, right, that once we stop drinking alcohol, what is actually happening is we're seeing the world how it really is. We're seeing the world how it really is. And instead of wanting to be accepted by our friends, why aren't we looking at our friends thinking, I want them to accept me? Why are we the ones demanding that people that you know, we want kind of like, we need to be loved and craved by them, right? We need to be accepted by them, right? But we're not going about it like that, are we? We are telling ourselves and convincing ourselves that we need to be like them to be accepted. I don't like the way that that goes. I don't like the way that that goes at all. I don't speak to any of my friends anymore, right? Any of them. I don't miss any of them. I think they're all great. And if I go back to Ogmore Vale and I see them, it'll be great, right? If they were really supposed to be in my life forever, then at the time that I made the change, they would have gone out of their way, okay, to have changed something or met me halfway. They would have maybe gone to the cinema with me. They maybe would have said, hey, do you know what, Lee? We're going out tonight. I tell you what, I won't drink alcohol tonight so I can be sober with you so you don't feel like such a dick. All right? And there is an absolutely beautiful piece that I'm going to share with you this week on a podcast by Michelle, who was absolutely terrified of meeting an old salsa friend of hers because their connection that they had last time was Prosecco and gin, right? And this time she met her and her friend turned around and said, oh, wow, you don't drink. Okay. And she never got the Prosecco and the gin out. They had the night together where they didn't drink, which was 10 times better than the night when they had a drink. We've got to ask ourselves, why are friends not doing that for us? Right? Partly because they're suffering from the death effect. They don't understand that alcoholism is an invisible, violent, and dominant belief system. They don't understand they're hooked. They don't understand they're addicted to one of the top 5 most powerful drugs in the world, right? That is part of the reason. The other part of the reason is you have nothing in common with them and they have nothing in common with you. And the only thing that you've had common is you've grown up together since you were like 12, 13. You've lived in the same area and you've got into this habit of every Saturday night or every Sunday, you go and you go out with them and you spend time with them. And alcohol has a real great way of creating disconnection as well as disease, right? It creates disconnection. So what tends to happen is you don't connect really. And most of your evenings and your days, you can't really remember what is going on. And what we need to do is we need to start really having a serious think about what we are getting out of our friendships. and taking some of those brave and courageous steps to say, do you know what? I don't want to be in this relationship anymore. And this is all about, moving on to my next point, taking 100% responsibility for our lives, right? Super, super duper important. Do we get serious when we become someone who doesn't drink alcohol? Well, black and white, no, that's not true, is it? Because we know that there are millions of people in the world who stop drinking alcohol and they go on and they have the most brilliant life where they're full of joy, happiness, and the joy it brings. You only have to go through Instagram, okay, and follow the quote-unquote sobriety brigade, and you'll see enough images and you'll read enough posts by a lot of people who, yeah, they have their serious moments, but 99% of the time, they're having a fucking great life. So this there's a little bit of all or nothing thinking, a little bit of a cognitive bias is coming in here when we're saying, you know, is this ever going to get it better? Am I always going to be serious, right? But two things we need to think about here. One, we choose to be someone who doesn't drink alcohol. Nobody's putting that pressure on us. We make that choice. And because we make that choice, then it's up to us to make sure that every reason that we made that choice, we make come true, all right? Or we bring it into our lives. And secondly, we choose to be serious. Nobody stops us from being serious. So if you went out on a Saturday night last week when you were drinking alcohol, you had a real great time and everything was funny and laughing, joking and stuff. And this week now you're not drinking and you go out on a Saturday and it's a little bit serious because you feel a little bit self-conscious, so you don't want to join in. You're making a choice not to join in, right? We can blame all the people around us saying that they're making us uncomfortable, etc., etc. For me, that's just a little bit of resistance because you're afraid to join in, okay? Now, do you want to live in fear all your life? Because if you continue to drink alcohol, that is what's happening. You're using a poison to kind of shift your state of being away from Lee to this other Lee that isn't really me, okay? Now, you're using a powerful poison to do that. You could do that if you want. Or, like I tend to do and lots of other people on Strive, you can learn to develop confidence and build on your low self-esteem and build on your low self-confidence, right? And your low self-assurance, sober. And then you can go out and you can be more comfortable about talking to people and getting involved, et cetera, right? But really important, think about this. You are the person out there who is being serious. I'm serious, right? I just told you that, right? I'm really serious, right? My wife's over there listening to me now. She'll agree. She'll probably say, I wish Lee would fucking brighten up. I wish he'd be happier. I wish he'd be more joyful. He's too serious. Nah, 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 right? I guarantee that's what Lies say. Yeah, Lies? Am I too serious? She's just staring at me. I am too serious, right? But I can't blame anyone for that. It's a choice I'm making. And if I want to be happier, if I want to be more joyful, if I want to bring those aspects into my life, then I need to do something about that. And part of the reason and part of the problem that people have with this and why a large majority of people go back to drinking is it's fucking hard. We're not in the school playground anymore. When we're in school, we go in the school playground, you're kicking a ball around, you're going to make mates. I know you're going to make friends. Just be honest, when you're 35, 40 years of age, you feel like a complete dickhead making friends again, right? It's really hard. It goes outside of your comfort zone completely, okay? But if you don't do it, okay, you're never going to reap the benefits of finding somebody who you match up to in an energy kind of sense, right? And what I mean by that is, it wasn't until I stopped drinking alcohol that suddenly I realized and noticed energy. Like someone would come into the room, like my wife Liza again, right? Liza comes in a room and straight away you can feel that she has this wonderful energy about her. So you're like, wow, I want to be buddies with this person. Like I want to be around this person. You cannot get that sense when you're drinking alcohol. That part of your sense, I don't know, let's say it's a sixth sense you don't even know about. It's not there when you're drinking alcohol. You're fucking deadening it, right? So you need to do the hard work. You need to create online meetup groups. You need to go out. All of my friends that I have right now, I've met through Liza, right? And that all happened when we came to Cardiff is Liza went online. A person called Debbie was hosting a live meetup around her house, a dinner. And Liza said, I'm going to go to this dinner. Do you want to come with me? And I said, you're fucking nuts. There's no way I'm going to a complete stranger's house sitting round and talking about shit, right? I'm not doing it. That was my resistance at that moment. I dropped Liza off and she went there. The three people she met, one of them we've spent a lot of time in Burning Man, she's really close friends. And the other two, we were seriously considering, and we haven't even done this yet, having them as godparents to our child, right? That's how close we became. And then out of that relationship came several other wonderful relationships that we are now in connection with. And a little group formed up. How did that begin? It began by Liza just going to an online meetup, going through that uncomfortableness of thinking, I'm alone, I'm from LA, I'm in Cardiff, I don't know anybody, I can be fucking sulky, I can be miserable, I can be moany, I can just be on my own, or I can do something about it and I can go out there and make friends. It ain't easy, but if you're a member of Strive, you are building that muscle, you are building that social muscle by talking to other people online. And when you then go to a live event, you'll be so much more confident to talk to people because you've been used to sharing and being vulnerable and talking about not being a drink and all that when you're online at Strive. The other thing that I just wanted to say is, some things that have worked for me. So the 9 o'clock threshold point. So if I go out with my old buddies, I have to be out of that pub by 9 o'clock, okay? Because if I go out at 6 or 7 o'clock, before the alcohol has taken control of the people I'm with, I have an absolute wonderful, joyful time. Because we'll be reminiscing about the past, we'll be cracking some jokes, we'll be catching up on what's going on in the world, we'll be having a bit of fun, a bit of banter. I have a good time. But come 9 o'clock when the alcohol kicks in, I need to get out of there. Because by 9 o'clock onwards, everything is going to go downhill. My friends are not going to be interested in me. They're not going to be listening to me. They're going to be too selfish. They're going to be talking about themselves. They're going to be repeating themselves constantly. They're going to be invading my personal boundaries by slavering on me and hugging me and telling me that they love me fucking 50 times. Mark Sickle, if you're watching this, yes, you tell me you love me too much, right? They're going to be talking about shit. They're going to be getting a little bit aggressive. The face is going to change. And the person you was really having a great time before 9 o'clock, they're not there anymore. They're gone. And you can feel this strong pull to get rid of this uncomfortable feeling that you now have because you're the odd one out by drinking and joining them. Well, that's just fucking balmy. You don't want to turn yourself into a dumbed down knobhead just because your mates are dumbed down knobheads. You want to get the hell out of there. Get the hell out of there and enjoy the rest of your evening and look back on the night and say, I had a good time with my mates. You've been programmed, right, since teenager to think that you have to stay out until 1, 2, 3, or 4 o'clock in the morning. How many times do we come on and say, how did last night go? Well, fucking hell, I got in at 4 o'clock in the morning. Must have been a fucking great night. Yeah, it must have been a great night because you can't remember it. But the fact that you come on at 4 o'clock in the morning helps supplant the theory and the story that you had a great time. You know, I remember my friend Skit saying to me, he used to love Shed 7. He went to watch a Shed 7 concert. I said, Skit, what was it like? He said, well, I don't know, but it must have been a fucking great night because I can't remember a thing. Well, how could it be a fucking great night if you can't remember a single string of the guitar in the group you've been looking forward to watching all your life? But he wasn't joking. He seriously believed he had a great time. This is the cognitive dissonance that helps us keep underneath the thumb of alcoholism as an invisible, violent, dominant belief system, right? Super duper important. So go out with your friends by all means, right? But get out of Dodge before 9 o'clock, okay? The other thing I suggest is, and I intimated this earlier, is you need to start talking to your friends and asking them to do things that don't revolve around alcohol, okay? Think about the things that you enjoy when you're at a pub. Could be watching a football, could be playing pool, could be playing poker, it could be just talking, it could be dancing, it could be listening to music, all right? It could be having fun, all right? Now, I used to like watching a football when I used to go to the pub. I'm going to go and watch a football tonight with my son, and I'm not going to drink a single drop of alcohol, and I will enjoy the moment much better. If I want to go dancing, I can go to a sober rave. I can dance around in the house. I can invite all my mates around the house, band drinking, and have a dance party, right? Or I could take up salsa dancing or disco dancing or go to a dancing club or whatever, right? If I want to play pool, I can join a pool league and I don't have to drink. If I want to play poker, I can join a poker club, but I don't have to play poker, right? There are so many things you can get your friends to do with you that don't revolve around alcohol. And those that don't want to do those things, are they really your friends, right? Think about that. The other thing is meditation. If you really, really, really want to change your life and stop being so serious and want to improve your social situation, then getting into a daily meditative state where you can think ahead and picture and visualize the future you that you would love. And what I mean by the future you would love is, what do you look like? How do you feel? And what are the aspects of your life like at that time? Like, where do you live? What kind of house you live in? What kind of neighborhood you live in? And who are the friends that you're surrounding yourselves with? Very often we do a lot of work on ourselves, don't we, about how we want ourselves to turn out like, what we want to think and feel, etc. And we very rarely think to ourselves, well, how can I attract the right friends into my life? We might think to ourselves, how do I attract the right wife, or how do I attract the right husband? But do we ever say to ourselves, how do I attract the right friends? So if you can start visualizing who these friends would be like, and you know, it doesn't take a, you know, have to be Einstein to figure out that the first one on my list when I stopped drinking alcohol was, I want people in my life that don't drink alcohol. I don't want people in my life that drink alcohol. It goes against my values, okay? So by thinking about that and telling the universe that that is what I want to happen, okay, then what happens subconsciously is we start to attract those people. We're giving off that energy that, hey, you're the type of person I want in my life. You're the type of person I don't want in my life, right? Now, putting that into a structured meditative practice is super essential. And I really highly recommend you read Breaking the Habit of Being Yourself by Joe Dispenza. Right? He talks about quantum theory. He talks about how every single thing in the universe, including us, is energy, how we all have a unique energy signature, and about how every single possibility exists in the world as energy, but it's only realized when we pay attention to it. So what we pay attention to, or the output of our thoughts, becomes super, super important as to what's going to come back in our life. And you know it happens, and you don't have to know how it works, right? You know, if you're feeling really sorry for yourself, that shit things happen in your life. In poker, okay, when you go on a good run and you win tournament after tournament, it's called a heater. It's called a heater. I'm on a heater. When I'm sitting down, I know I'm going to win, right? We get heaters in life. Why do we get heaters in life? It's because when we're in a heater, we are giving out that energy and that confidence that, hey, this is, feels good. I want more of this in my life. And we're putting that out there and the universe gives it back to us. But if we get up in the morning and we fall out of bed and we stand in a lump of shit on the way to work and we start moaning and groaning, we're going to get a lot of moany, groany stuff back to us. Am I any expert at this? Nope. Nope. I'm not an expert at this, right? But I know when I'm feeling really sorry for myself, the world feels sorry for me by giving me sorry shit. And if I feel really happy and really on fucking top of my game, the world will give me a lot of happiness, right? And that includes the friends we talk about. One last thing I want to talk about. Listen to the William Porter podcast we just did, Alcohol Explained, okay? And I asked William, you know, what was it like when you stopped drinking alcohol? What was like some of the challenging parts? And William said, I miss my mates. Like, I miss my mates and going out. However, and here's the important caveat, when I think about it now, I was ready to change that area of my life anyway. I had children. I was in a new relationship. I was about to transition away from that anyway. So forgetting alcohol for a minute, William likely was going through that transition anyway. Okay. But because we've given up, we made a paradigm changing shift in our lives of stopping drinking alcohol, we put too much focus on the alcohol. Maybe it was just the right time for your life to change. Maybe you cannot keep thinking you're 17 years of age, right? All right. This is what William was saying. I thought it was a really important point. You should go check that out. If you've got any questions on this, chewing your fat, please let me know. The Truth About Alcohol taster for December. If you want to join that, head to thetruthaboutalcohol.co.uk and join up there. I really strongly suggest you do it. Or if you're not doing it yourself, buy it someone as a gift, all right? What a wonderful Christmas present for giving someone the opportunity to try to be a month of somebody who doesn't drink alcohol. You get 27 daily coaching assignments. I will be there to help you every step of the way, as will the other True About Alcohol moderators. Like I said earlier on, group peer learning. The feedback on the taster has been exceptional. People have loved it. So please give that a go. If you know you want to be someone who doesn't drink alcohol and you're not interested in going a month, you just really want to make this a full time, this is who you are, then join the intensive. Okay. You find the details of the intensive over at truthaboutalcohol.co.uk. They are loving it at the moment in the intensive. Yes, it's hard work. That's why we call it intensive. You know, for 4 months, you're going to get a daily assignment. But not only are people finding intensive, they're loving it. They're really, really enjoying finding out who they really are and who they were before alcohol came and robbed them of that and started putting all these masks on. So Truth About Alcohol Taster, Truth About Alcohol Intensive, get to the truthaboutalcohol.co.uk and check them out, please. Yep. Take care of yourselves, folks. Bye-bye. If you want to learn more about the truth about alcohol and what it's like to become someone who doesn't drink alcohol, then there are two options open to you. The first is to take the Truth About Alcohol Taster, how to go alcohol-free for 1 month. I created it so you could have a feel and test around the idea about whether or not you really do want to give up drinking alcohol, because it is a massive, massive commitment, okay? So in this month, you work with other like-minded individuals who are also playing around with the same theory. You'll be in a peer group. There'll be Truth About Alcohol moderators and myself helping you out. You will receive a video lesson and assignment every single day with some homework for you, where you will be learning about the fundamentals of the truth about alcohol. What is the truth about alcohol and why do we drink alcohol? Okay, raising awareness of that truth internally so we can understand more about what's going on and change some of those neurological patterns that have led to us becoming people who drink alcohol, and touching a little bit on what is freedom like? What is life like after we stop drinking alcohol? And how do we reassert ourselves back into a society where when we look around, every single person we know drinks alcohol? That is the taster. That is an entry point to the Truth About Alcohol philosophy. We are going to run one of those every single calendar month. And if you want to join that, you're interested in that, then email me at thetruthaboutalcohol@gmail.com and we'll make that happen. After you've done the taster, or if you don't want to do the taster, you want to bypass it and jump straight into becoming someone who doesn't drink alcohol permanently, then take the TTAA Intensive, the Truth About Alcohol Intensive, learning how to be someone who doesn't drink alcohol permanently. What happens in the intensive? Well, we sign you up for an annual subscription, okay? For an annual subscription, you get involved with the Strive Community Forum. You get access to be able to check in every day, to help and help other people and ask other people for help and guidance, to record your triggers and have the highly trained Truth About Alcohol moderators and myself help you to go through those triggers. You will also receive a video a day, a video training exercise a day, okay, where we will be teaching you in depth the weeds, the nuts and bolts, the DNA of the Truth About Alcohol principles in three modules: truth, alcohol, and awareness. We are combining the Truth About Alcohol life changing experience and finding meaning and purpose through the art of story to give you a massive, massive shot in the arm when it comes to being someone who doesn't drink alcohol. For a whole year, you'll be working in a peer group, learning so, so much about how to understand all the reasons why you are drinking and to find the support to help you deal with those reasons, okay? If you want to get interested in taking the Truth About Alcohol Intensive, then again, email me at thetruthaboutalcohol@gmail.com and I'll tell you all about it. Thanks always for listening and thanks for all your support.